Just coming up 26 minutes away from 2 o'clock. Time to talk about the state of our state. And as we become more reliant on technology, there's a risk that people with disabilities can get left behind, isn't there? Well, in an effort to prevent that happening, the state government has overhauled its online presence to ensure that it remains accessible to everyone. And the bloke in charge of that project, boy, I don't know what his blood pressure must be like, is Nick Condon. He's the head of digital services. How are you, Nick?
Really well, thanks for having us.
How is the blood pressure?
We're sitting 130 over 80.
Yeah, good. Because this is a big gig, isn't it? This is a big task.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, the whole world is moving online. Mm. You know, you're ordering food, you're getting your travel done there, and, of course, government services are online. And I think the thing that we've really honed in on is the fact that whilst lots of people have got choice in lots of different web services, when it comes to government, you haven't got a lot of choice. No. So we need to make sure those services are there and they're accessible and consumable for everybody.
Also with us is a bloke who brings first-hand experience to the challenges faced by people with a disability. Tony Starkey is a good mate of ours from the Royal Society for the Blind, and he's legally blind, so he's well-placed to give us some advice on this. How are you, Tony?
Oh, good, thank you, Alan.
Thanks for coming in. Now, again, this must be a very, very frustrating area for someone with a disability like yourself. But are we actually mounting the curb, so to speak, and getting on top of things?
I think we've come a long way. I mean, access to information has always been the biggest barrier to us. It's you know, about knowing what you obviously can't read anymore and so forth. So since the internet's came along, I mean, there's probably less than 5% of the books in the world are still inaccessible to people who are blind or vision impaired, so it's still very much a print thing. However, with different initiatives, a publishing initiative which we're running in with the Australian publishers, what Nick's doing with the government websites, I mean, to have a government website accessible and to go online and not get frustrated is like a dream. I think there's about 140-odd government websites just in South Australia, so most people will go online, try to do it with their screen reader or magnifier, and it's either illogical or just won't access things such as PDF documentation if it's formatted incorrectly and so forth. So this has been an ongoing battle for about 15, 20 years. Mm. So this is the first time it's been endorsed by the, I suppose, if you think about it, from top-down approach. So the Premier's department is the one that's driving the issue. And it's probably coincidental that online is becoming a big issue as well. But also people are adopting what we call universal design at access at design time and things like that. So it's the built environment, it's access to information, it's a lot, all areas of life.
So, Nick, how have you approached this? What have you done? You've taken a website. How do you actually rebuild that website? Because that's what you've needed to do, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a really good point. And so there's two parts in this. I guess the first part is looking at the existing websites, understanding and talking to the people who need to use those websites. Where are the challenges? What are they trying to do? Actually being in their environment, understanding what devices they're accessing on, looking at the kind of information they're getting, and really understanding in that kind of real citizen-centric piece, what are the challenges? What are the things we need to fix? From there, it's actually a broad consultation because you've got to remember 1 in 5 people have some kind of disability across Australia. So there's a range of disabilities and a scale of those disabilities as well. So being really consultative and co-designing the policy, coming up with the toolkit, which is effectively a public piece. Government have said we need to make sure that not just government websites, but we've got a real leadership piece here to make sure local government sites, non-for-profit sites, and all of those businesses across South Australia know what best practice is when it comes to making sure people like Tony can jump online and use a website.
So, and we're not just talking about sight impairment here, though, are we? We're talking about a range?
Absolutely. Mm. So accessibility is something that we look at a lot broader than just visual impairments. That's a huge piece. And when it comes to being able to read online with some of those accessibility tools, it's a huge help. But equally so, you're looking at things like digital inclusion, making sure that people who are using digital tools can understand. There's also a piece around digital literacy. You know, we take for granted sometimes if we can use a website well or use the internet well that we think that everybody can, but it's actually the other way. Mm. Equally so, the kind of devices people use. Not everyone has the latest iPhone, whatever it's going to be. And finally, the last piece of this is also the internet speeds. Not everybody has a lightning speed. So we need to make sure that when we're doing these services, we're considering not just those from a visual impairment, but also the kind of devices they'll be on, the internet speeds, and the kind of language we use to make sometimes, you know, government jargon a little bit more consumable as well.
How far down the path are we? How far along?
Yeah, so, I mean, when you look at sa.gov.au, now that's the government's major website, over 10 million people using that website in some capacity every single year. That website's already been meeting the accessibility standards for many, many years. And there's lots of government websites that are also meeting those standards. I think what we're really trying to say here is that as things move in more and more online, we need to put some real rigour around what exactly those standards are. And more to that, as people recreate new digital things, and we're not just talking websites, it could be mobile phone apps. It could be the kind of information that Tony's talking around that might be in a PDF at the moment, but actually we want to move that into a consumable format.
Right,
so
yeah.
It's going breadth, but it's also going depth when it comes to considering what citizens' needs are from an accessibility perspective.
Happy to take your calls on this. If you've got any questions or comments, 8223 0000. Faye's called in from Windsor Gardens. Hi, Faye.
Hi, boys. How are you going?
We're good.
Hi, Tony. You used to work with me. How are you going these days? I just wanted to talk about the accessibility as well, and I'm trying to get my my church's monthly magazine and newsletter online, but at the moment they haven't been able to. Well, I mean, they haven't, or either they're not going to do it or something. What can I do to be able to, you know, with things fast moving online? I know everybody has their preferences, and how can I take it with them, even if it means going back to them again, which I have to in any case, but. How can I encourage them to want to change it online for people that like us with having a vision impairment, as you and I have had for a long time?
Good question, Faye.
I think there's two ways I'd address that, Faye. One is that they can email you to it in an accessible document, so Word or rich text or even an accessible PDF, so you can read it with an email. The other is if they do have a website, well, there's no reason why they can't utilise these tools that the government's now made available. I mean, they're very easy to use tools, and also the policy is quite easy to read and follow. I think they should be able to, even the an amateur or a hobbyist could follow it and make an accessible website to give you that answer.
So keep on pushing, Faye, I think would be the advice there. Nick, what are some of the tools that you have developed that Tony was just referring to?
Yeah, absolutely. So, look, if you go to accessibility.sa.gov.au, Faye is a great example of why this toolkit's been created, because accessibility is something that has quite a lot of complexity to it to create, but what we've really tried to do is create some tools that are those best practice checklists, to-do list guidelines that you can take and say, right, when it comes to the colours on my website, and you think around people who may have some kind of colour blindness, using contrasting colours, colours that could be very similar together, make it really hard for people to see the difference between text and background. And so we give some guidelines there around what are those best colours that you can use to make sure that people who may be colour blind can see a site. There's a whole piece on this toolkit around plain English. And the term there is, you know, I mean, you see lots and lots of acronyms and lots of three-letter words with little, acronyms as part of them. There's a real call for getting just plain English back into the way we write websites. Pull the jargon out. And just if you're trying to say something, let's not use the, the jargon that only 4% of people who use it on a day-to-day basis understand, but just use plain, simple English. It's a really simple way to go. The other thing, and this is probably a little more for the propeller heads, but when you look at a website, you see the words on that website. Behind that, those words, is a whole bunch of different code. If you're building a new website, using the toolkit to get that code in the right order, so things like the accessibility screen readers, they actually look for particular words. What's the title? What's the call to action? What's the description? And if you can have those in there, and also lots of images on the site.
So you can actually code those words so they're picked up by the device.
So, you know, Tony will be looking at a website and it says, today the weather is going to be so-and-so. And there might be a picture of a sun and it says, we're showing a picture of the sun. So that Tony or anybody else who has a visual impairment can actually understand the full experience of that website. And so the government's made all these freely available and purposefully put them out to the public so that businesses, non-for-profit, anybody who needs those tools can use them freely.
Well, at the end of this process, I mean, I'll rephrase that because the process will never be ended, will it? Will you be actually setting the bar, or are we playing catch-up?
Well, actually, I think We've already set the bar, there's no arrogance in that. We've made sure that we've been consulting not just locally, but we've actually been working with the UK government, the US government, and the Canadian government too, all who have said this is now the best practice leading tool when it comes to accessibility. So we take that as a real compliment to my team's work and the work that we've been doing within state government. But I think it's also a call out for the fact that there are lots of South Australians who need services, and sometimes those services only exist online. For us, you know, we really understand that sometimes it's those who need the services most online that don't necessarily have the accessibility tools to get there. So it's our job, and it's the job of anyone who's got a website that wants to make sure those one in five people are actually being able to consume the service as well, that they go online and use those tools.
Tony, what's been the Royal Society for the Blind's role in this? I imagine you've been playing a fairly important part.
Oh, yeah, we've, over the many years, we've discussed this with government and so forth, but in the last 2 years, I suppose, we've actually participated in the development of the policy, the use of the words, the language, and also the direction of what they take and how they're explained and so forth. So we've been part of the whole thing since it's been going, and since Nick's been at the organisation, we've been moving forward, which is good. So it's really taken a good leap, I suppose, of things that we have been not messing around with, but trying to get kick-started every now and again. So you get kick-started and then it stops now. But now we've finally got it to the point. So hopefully from now on this will be the lead. And also it would also lead government in the future in other areas such as urban planning, transport, aviation, whatever the topic is, there's an issue where we need to be involved, as in trying to make it simple, accessible, and also easy to use. So whilst you can have a really good website with very accessible, the logical steps that you go through it are not there. So that's what Nick was saying. It's got to be logical and easy to follow and so forth, because most people will give up after about five clicks.
Yeah, absolutely. Guilty, Your Honour. I think we all are. We're talking about the government's new system of online accessibility. If you've got any questions or comments, give us a call, 8223 0000.
AFL legend Lee Matthews joins Rowey and Bix on the 5AA Sports Show Wednesdays from 4:30, thanks to Morford Air, your Dakin specialists. For quality air conditioning and solar solutions, visit morfordair.com.au.
If you had blood coming out of your eyes or ears, you'd get that checked out. So, did you ignore the blood in the basin when you cleaned your teeth this morning? Bleeding gums can be a sign of gum disease, which can lead to tooth loss, even heart disease. Chlorofluor gel and mouthwash will help stop bleeding gums. Don't gamble with your health. Use Australian-made Chlorofluor from pharmacies and your dentist. Always read the label. Use only as directed. If symptoms persist, see your dental health professional.
Well, it's about time you got started on the garden, honey.
I know.
When I say getting started...
It just needs to warm up.
You've been out here for over an hour. I thought you were going to Stanford Mowers.
I did. Kinda.
You went to Bennett's, didn't you?
Yes, I went to
Bennett's. Should have gone to Stanford's.
Don't risk it. See Stanford Mowers, SA's biggest range of power equipment, all checked and ready for action. 590 Main North Road, Stanford Jepps Cross, Mowers. stanfordmowers.com.au.
Now, it's backed by popular demand, the biggest life insurance offer ever at 50upclub.com. Now, join now and you'll get 2 months of no premiums plus a 20% lifetime discount on Noble Oaks My Protection Plan. That's a massive 36% saving on Noble Oaks My Protection Plan in your first year. And this is fully underwritten life insurance from award-winning provider Noble Oak. Check out 50 Up Club's biggest life insurance offer yet, only at 50upclub.com. Any advice provided is general in nature, and you should read the product disclosure statement to see if this product is right for you. Don't miss this great offer from Noble Oak and 50 Up Club. Head to 50upclub.com.
South Australian footy fans, are you ready for the best footy experience in Australia? Take the trip west with your team and keep on travelling. With no bad seats, Optus Stadium is built for the fans. The Brewhouse, less than 100 metres from Optus Stadium gates, is a pre-game must. And all our award-winning bars, restaurants, beaches and wineries are world-class. Come over. Spend more than a day in WA. AFL travel packages and tickets are available now. Search AFL Perth.
The Fiat Professional Pro Motion is now on. Get an exceptional finance offer on a popular selection of Fiat Ducato models with class-leading carrying capacity. Visit your Fiat Professional dealer today. Fiat Professional, your right-hand van. Exclusions, T's and C's at fiat.com.au.
This week's Fresh Market Update, brought to you by Woolworths.
G'day, Paul Turner here, head of produce at Woolworths. Well, MV apples are back in season and only at Woolworths. The hot, dry summer in the growing regions has produced good-sized fruit with a sweet taste. We're also expecting a steady crop of Hass avocados. They've got a creamy, smooth and buttery texture with delicious flavour. And mild days and cool evenings have produced ideal growing conditions for broccolini. Autumn is peak season and we're seeing great quality produce. That's this week's Woolworths Fresh Market Update.
In Adelaide and across South Australia, this is Alan Hickey. Scraped your caravan? Walker Crash Caravan Repairs. Easy insurance repairs, fast.
11 minutes away from 2 o'clock, I've got a traffic report here from Paul. Thanks, Paul. He says there's an accident on both sides of North East Road at Hillcrest near North Point Toyota. Delays in both directions, so an accident on both sides of the road. So give it a big miss, I'd suggest, if you're on North East Road at the moment. We are talking about digital citizen services and the great work they're doing in South Australia to give people with disabilities access to the online world, which are becoming more and more dependent on. Nick Condon is with us. He's the head of digital services, and we've also got Tony Starkey from the Royal Society of the Blind with us. One thing that I think it's worth really pointing out is for those people who are not paying attention in this area, they're missing a huge slice of the society. As you say, one in five people is suffering a disability. That's one in five people that they're missing their business.
Yeah, that's right. If you're a small business, I guess you need to consider that one in five people may not be able to actually read your website, understand your products and services, and therefore, you know, you could be potentially passing on one in five customers to somebody who does.
And that's also important, particularly for the ageing community with their age and blindness is connected. So there's a whole market out there that if you don't make your environment accessible or your information accessible, a lot of people won't be spending their money with you.
So. Now, you mentioned also, Tony, during the break, apps. We tend to think, particularly us older folks, we tend to think the app is a completely separate thing to the internet or online. It's not, is it?
No, it's not. It's just another delivery method of providing information. And you can do what you can do on a website through your smartphone or what you can do with the thing. I think the app is just more like a functional thing. So everything from public transport information to banking to, you name it, whatever, ordering your meal, as things said. It's all that accessible and so forth. So it's a matter of making sure it's accessible to start with. I use an iPhone, which is voice activated out of the box, so that's why the blind tend to lean towards that one a bit more. It's a very accessible thing. However, probably at least half the apps available won't talk to us on the because they haven't been constructed with accessibility built in.
Now, that's a classic case of where people are overlooking things, isn't it, Nick? Those developers not realising.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, again, I guess one of the considerations we've put into what we're doing, yes, we're always retrofitting government websites so that they do have that accessibility. But if you're designing something, you really want to get that accessibility in from the very, very start. You don't want to kind of go halfway down the path and then realise, oh, well, we have to change that or change particular parts. And so there's a whole part on the accessibility toolkit online which talks around accessibility at design. So you're actually putting those foundations in place. And then as you build through the different features and functionality, that kind of accessibility that makes Tony's life 10 million times easier, that's already there to start with, which is hugely beneficial.
Absolutely. You mentioned earlier, Nick, not dumbing down, but making language a lot more accessible.
Right.
That's such a huge area, isn't it? Because, you know, bureaucratic speak can be an absolute nightmare for anyone.
Yeah, and look, to be honest, it's not even just government. If you're using insurance services, if you're booking something online from a travel site or particular acronyms that exist, not everybody understands the words that are in your particular industry that you work in day to day. And so one of the things the government's really focusing on now is this citizen-centred design, actually putting the wording and getting the framing right from that citizen's perspective. And sometimes that means plain English by default, getting those real simple words in place, as opposed to saying, you know, we're going to put in some Scrum 2.4, blah, blah, blah. You're actually saying you're going to book a holiday or you're going to be doing... It's really important to get that right, because I think, you know, what we're trying to say here is that not all South Australians have the same level of fundamental digital accessibility. They don't have the same level of digital inclusion or literacy. But equally so, standard literacy is something that we need to be considering as well, and making sure that that wording is really accessible for those that have got, you know, really, really great written and writing skills, but equally so for those who maybe have some need there as well.
Look, I'll just give you a personal example of when, you know, the new regulations over microchipping and registering your pets came online, and we had to enter our new details. We had to re-register our pets effectively. Remember that? It was last year sometime. I'll tell you what, it took me an hour to do that, and I'm sort of reasonably okay, but it was so complicated. You know, I had to copy stuff and send it in. I was thinking, well, you know, if I was living on my home, an elderly person, there's no way I'd be able to get through this.
Right. And so I think one of the things we want to do here is make those services more accessible.
Yeah.
But also where we can, let's actually make them easier as well. You know, coming online to use a tool, actually we should be able to make those steps more simple, clearly explained, and really help people get away from some of those jargon pieces.
What sort of system are you using? Are you developing an approach and then sending it out to people like the Royal Society for the Blind and getting them to test it? Or
Well, it's actually it's almost a full loop. So we've engaged people like Vision Australia, Royal Society for the Blind, also Blind Citizens Australia, and actually getting them at the start of the process. But once we've built that, this incremental loop of, all right, well, here's what we said. Let's go and test that. Is it working? Yes. Oh, we could tweak that a little bit. Let's refine that. Come around and go again. But, you know, we've been working on this toolkit and the policy for about 12 months. And so at the point we're at now, we've gone through a range of loops. We put out a broad consultation. 100 different pieces of information came back around, hey, have you considered this? This might need a bit of refinement. So at the point we're at now, we feel that we've got a really, really great policy to launch. But as you mentioned before, it doesn't kind of stop here. There'll be new technologies coming through. Things will evolve and change. And so it's government's responsibility to take a leadership position and be constantly evolving that policy and that toolkit along with technology's evolution.
Absolutely. Jason has called from Salisbury East. Hi, Jason.
Hey, guys. How's things?
Good.
One thing that needs to be taken into account is these damn captures that you have to do. You know, make sure you're not a robot who's accessing the website sometimes.
Yeah.
Because they give you like an audio capture and you think, what the hell are you saying? They're very hard to understand, Tom.
Yeah, look... I get exactly what you're saying there, Jason. Captures are a really interesting piece to make sure, because, again, on the flip side of accessibility is the fact that there's lots and lots of tools on the web that are people going through and getting computers to do blast sends onto emails or blast sends onto websites. And so these capture tools where you've got to fill in some details to prove you're not a robot really do put a lot of those other robot pieces to stop. But it does, like you say, cause a big problem from an accessibility point.
I realise they're necessary. It's just that we call... They give you, like, an audio one, and you've really got to try and... Because, like, the way they talk and that sort of thing, really.
They've released Capture 2, so the second version of that. And, again, you know, a lot of these services are really aware of the fact that accessibility needs to be considered. The latest version they've put out has got a lot more... rigor around how actually they can have those words, like you say, easier to hear, but also making sure that there's more accessibility options there when it comes to captures.
Thanks, Tony. Jason, a good point. Well, thank you, gentlemen, and good luck with it. Congratulations. It's been, you know, you've covered an awful lot of territory in 12 months.
Thanks very much.
Sure. And, you know, as you say, setting the bar. Now, for more information, so you want the online accessibility policy and the toolkit, go to accessibility, that's one word, accessibility.sa.gov.au, and the whole toolkit's on there.
It is indeed.
Fantastic. Thank you very much,
thank you.
Nick Condon, and also Tony Starkey, for your time today. All right, stick around after the break. Dr. Derek is here to answer.